Johnny, have you got some announcements?
Praise the Lord. It is good to be in God's house this morning.
Yes.
And it's good to see all of you here.
Yes. Amen.
We had a couple of visitors at the back, and they have departed already. I think this is their fourth church to be at this morning, they told me. I don't know what they're looking for, but I pray that God will help them find what they're looking for.
Yeah. I hope they find Jesus.
Yeah.
Find Him.
If you will, take a look real quickly with me at the bulletin. It's good to see Jim Keithover, Karen's brother here this morning. Good to see you, Jim. Good to see Renee back. We've missed her. She's been gone a few Sundays. Good to see Charlie back there. Yes. Let's see. Next Sunday is Mother Appreciation Sunday. And I know that there's some ladies that are already planning to have their mothers here, maybe some long-lost sisters here. We're excited about that, but I do want to let you know that I've had two gentlemen call me or come up to me and say that they would help with a Mother's Appreciation Sunday, and I appreciate that. That is not enough, though. I need some more of the gentlemen to help me because we need to, while we're having the Mother Appreciation breakfast, we want to entertain the children. So we're going to need help with the kids and also in the serving and so forth. So I need some more gentlemen to see me after the church, after the service, if you will, please. We do have kind of a schedule going for our cleaning, and that is great. Last Sunday, I had three people come up to me and say that they would help with a summer children's program of some sort. We'll call it VBS for short. Most of you guys know what VBS stands for. But we do need some more help, and we need some ideas. So if you want to help or give some ideas, we would greatly appreciate that. Let's see. Let me make sure that I'm not missing anything. I want to remind you guys about the service, today's message, and of course every Sunday's message will be available on cassette. You can see that, see Patrick for that. He can make those tapes immediately after each service. Also, just to let you guys know a little bit of something that, is going on about kind of behind the scenes that you don't know about, and that is that, the church for the first time in, the church's history will be in the West phone book. It's in the Lakewood Directory phone book, and that will be coming out in June, I believe, or July. So we're excited about that. Let people know where we're at and that we're staying here and we'll not be moved. And then also we also mail out about 100 newcomer cards to people that are moving to the area, and that goes to about 9 different zip codes. So the word is going out, and people are going to become more and more familiar with who we are, where we are, and so I want to let you guys know about that too. Let's see. There is some stuff downstairs. I want to let you guys know about that. There's some stuff from the food bank. After the service, you can go downstairs and see about getting some of that stuff. And again, it's good to see Kemp back here.
Yes.
Kemp was telling me that he missed his annual sailboat ride this summer, or for this year. And is that the reason why? Because you didn't take him. See there, Kemp? No, Kemp had tack on his body, and he needs a touch from the Lord. And so, yes, so be it. Amen. Let's see. Am I forgetting anything else? Guess not. I don't see any lips moving, so I guess that's it.
Praise the Lord. Praise your Lord. Guys, if you'll come forward. Right now, Father, we give back your tithes and our offerings to you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to put demonstration by a physical act, Lord, to our love and our obedience and our how we feel about you, Lord, the fact that you're first in our lives. We ask, Lord, now that you'd bless this offering, that you'd sanctify it, Lord, multiply it, bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. Give you praise and glory and honor. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I mentioned it to you last week. Let me mention it to you again. If you can't find Jesus in this place, you can't find Him. Now, I don't want you to say amen to me. I want you to adopt that as your knowledge and your stance. And I want you to, spiritually speaking, I want you to hit anybody in the mouth that says anything different. Spiritually speaking. You understand that the mouth is a betrayer. The mind and the mouth are betrayers. And it's up to you and I to curb our own, but to help others curb theirs. You got that? Snide remarks, smart aleck remarks, Renee would say, pissing and moaning. Please, attack it like it's an enemy, because it is. And I don't even care if it's me. I don't care who it is in the church. If you hear it, attack it. Make it stop. To the couple that just came and left, let me remind you of something. There are people out there that are looking for comfort, and I don't think that's y'all. I've seen people leave because of a drum. I've seen them leave because somebody shouts. I've seen them leave because they clap. Now, I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about many churches. They're not looking for Jesus. They're looking for format. If the one thing you study about Jesus is that He broke every format that was available. He broke it. He was not a peacemaker in the way that these Lilliputs are prescribing him. He walked into churches and said, that's not the way I want it. I'm going to fight it. But you know what? He didn't cut and run. And he didn't go in there and say, oh, that stupid preacher. He didn't go in there and say, oh, that dumb drummer. Oh, do you know the attitude of that one praise and worship singer? I saw her the other day. He didn't do that. He went with the Word, by the Word. As long as we do that, the truth will set those free that are interested in being set free. If they're looking for format, then they're going to have to go somewhere else because I am along with Jesus. I'm going to break every one I can find. Amen? I want to be natural like He was natural in the nature of God. Amen? All right. Children, I guess if we've got children's church, head that way and make those teachers teach you something. Ask them some questions they don't have the answers for. I got blessed this morning with who was and who is to come. You know that Jesus was Jesus long before you were born? And He did not come into your likeness and image? Isn't that cool? Man, I like it when a person is a person and they're not trying to fit somebody else's description of a person. It's the way it ought to be. I want to give a little praise and thanks to the praise and worship team. They're trying some new things. If you heard them stumble, that's because you're listening for the wrong things. You're not worshiping God. If you were worshiping God, you didn't hear one mistake. If you did, maybe you were looking for some. Shame on you. I give Him praise anyway. Got all this straightened out, now we get a little attitude adjustment? I'll tell you what, I need it bad, you need it bad, we need it bad. All righty, let's begin. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Holy be Your name. We exalt You, Your name, Your law, Your rule, Your word this morning. Nothing else matters. I don't care about my feelings, and I don't care about the feelings of one person here, Lord. I care about Your feelings and Yours alone. I want Your rule and reign in this place. I want to shake whatever can shake. I want to burn whatever will burn, Lord. I want You by the Spirit to do that through me and through every individual and through every ear today. Tear down our idols. Tear down our belief structures and reassemble according to Your Word by Your Spirit this morning. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need our daily bread today, Lord, so we ask You once again to visit, minister, and change. And for these things, because we've spoken them not as a prayer, but by Your Word, we've commanded them to be so. So we know that they are done in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to listen to me for a second. If you will listen to the tapes about prayer, you'll stop being downtrodden. You'll start being bold. It sounds like we're getting our hands slapped for doing something wrong, and that's not the case. What the case is, God's introducing new, fresh light to us to cause us to be more bold and to accomplish more things. Amen? I don't worry about yesterday. Yesterday, all the mistakes and all the stuff that we've done, who wants to go there? Who wants to be there? I'm looking forward to the fresh today and tomorrow. And if God was and is to come, then I know who's got my backside covered, and I know who's got today covered, and I know what I'm looking forward to. Amen? Now, a little review. So most of you have been here. Several of you have missed some things. The tape's back there. You need to get them. But last week we studied the Lord's Prayer again. We took one particular verse, which is verse 11, but I'm going to read you again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Okay, back up just once. Jesus said, don't pray like the hypocrites pray. If anything should ever get our attention, that should get our attention. And He said, so I'm going to keep you from praying like the hypocrites pray. I want you to pray like this. And just so that I can't believe we've been so slow on the uptake, Harry. Because in verse 8, He said, don't ask me about your needs. I already know about your needs before you ask. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. How many of you know that Jesus is not a man like most of us? He doesn't joke around. He doesn't insinuate, innuendo, or hint. He doesn't say things under his breath, hoping somebody will be offended or get changed. He doesn't work that way. He just says, boom, and there it is. No ifs, ands, or buts. Excuse me for not asking your opinion, but pray like this. In case some of you haven't changed the way you pray, well, you're just bucking Jesus. Just go ahead. He called it one time kick against the pricks. See how it feels. Just keep it up. We're going to do part two today. I really didn't intend to, but to answer some questions that came about from last week, this is Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, part two. In the Lord's Prayer, we're only given one opportunity to pray for ourselves, or even our own, and that's give us this day our daily bread. It's the only thing that Jesus gave you permission to pray for. I know. I tell you, when I say that, I see big waves come up, and so you don't know what you're talking about. I got all these scriptures. You ain't got one scripture that supersedes what Jesus says. Not one. Not one. Whenever you see red letters, you put that in the top of the book. And you let everything else come beneath. And if it don't match the top of the book, throw it away and start over. Now listen. We're given one opportunity to ask for ourselves. Ourselves meaning me, my wife, my children, those that I love, and that's give us this day our daily bread. I told you that daily bread was a lot more than what we consider bread to be. It's something we throw away here, but back then that was life and death. It meant, give me today what it takes to do your will. Which is a whole lot more than me, by the way. It takes a lot more than me to do God's will. So when I prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, then the next thing I must say is, give me the capability of doing that. And that's what give me this day my daily bread means. I told you last week that the title of message has caused me to soar with Jesus. Or fill it with premium, please. It wasn't bread. We've read the Lord's Prayer. We've read before from verse 6 and 7 on. And it's very specific. And I asked you last week, why do you keep asking for things over and over when it tells you, do not pray with vain repetitions? The only exception to a vain repetition is, give me this day my daily bread. Because Jesus said do that. He said everything else would be a vain repetition. I've been around people that after a number of years, they have one prayer. And if you listen to it a couple of times, you can pray it for them. Because you already know what the prayer is. That's a vain repetition. It's not a fresh conversation. Let me tell you what your response to me from last week was. It was this. Well, what about? How many of you wanted to call me up and tell me, well, what about? Well, I heard two. I'll repeat that. 1 John 5:15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. I'll give you another one. James 4:2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. That's what I said last week. You brought it up to me. That's exactly what I told you. You've got your kingdom. You don't have God's kingdom because you keep asking for yours and you don't ask for God's. You're all busy asking. You're getting what you're asking. And my question to you is, are you satisfied with what you're getting? Maybe I'm the only greedy one in here, but I want more than what I'm asking. I'm not even smart enough to know what to ask. Come on, we need to start at ground zero. I'm not smart enough to know what to ask. So what I ask for is thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, and the ability to do it when I get the answer. Let me say it another way. My response to you is Jesus is already always right, no matter what James or John said. Now, you understand, I'm being a little sarcastic here. James and John didn't write without the unction of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we use God's Word to fight God's Word, and that is always wrong. Let's start with what Jesus said and work out, and you'll always be safe. You have not because you ask not. Your petitions boldly, I have one petition. I'm giving up all other petitions. I have one petition. I want God's Word, God's will, God's way. That's so far beyond anything that I can think or ask. I have not because I ask not. You're absolutely right. The reason the kingdom of God is not alive and well in my life is because I haven't been asking for the kingdom of God. I've been asking for things much less than the kingdom, which is money, bread, healing, all of those things. That's so far underneath God's will and God's kingdom. It's part of it, but it doesn't even rank high. God is the will. God is the Word. God is the kingdom. And that's what I want. I want Him. And everything else comes with Him, but it comes with Him. I don't get one without the other. All right. Would you rather have His kingdom and His will or your kingdom and your will? That's what this is going to boil down to. This is what the Spirit's been dealing with me very strong. You know, I'm just as apt to go back in my ways and ask for my things as anybody else is. But it seems like the Spirit is being quick to say, you sure you want that? Did you know that when you ask God for something, you're not even sure if that's what you want? We talked about Wednesday night where they were asking for something besides manna, and so God gave them quail until it ran out their nose. Now, how much money did you want? You want it where it runs out your nose? So you don't know how much you want. How about healing? You don't know how much you want. You don't have the slightest idea. Well, I want to be perfect. Oh, yeah? You sure? You want it till it runs out your nose? You know what that means? I'm sick of it. That's what it meant. We are sick of it. We've had what we've asked until we're sick of it. You know why? Because it wasn't God's will, God's kingdom. We got what we wanted, and we will never be satisfied until we get what God wants. It's our very human nature. We will never be satisfied until we get what God wants. That's where satisfaction comes. You ask me, well, what about those needs, those problems, those worries, those pains? Well, then I would ask you, what is God's will about that? We've gone through this before. I'm going to hit it again. What is God's will about that? You know what you've been asking for? You've been asking God to remove these things from your life. Can I respond to you childlike? He's already done it. He ain't going to do it again. Whatever God's done, He's done. Well, then how come they're still there? Well, because He gave you dominion. He gave you dominion. He didn't give you dominion to ask Him to do it again. He gave you dominion to use His Word and His law to enforce. Okay? Instead, we get a pain. God! Jesus says, no, I felt that pain. I ain't feeling it again. Now, come on, this is Scripture I'm telling you. No, sir, I felt that. I'm not feeling it again. Now, I gave you every tool and every weapon, and I even went down and kicked his neck one more time before I left. Now it's your turn. Now, is that Scripture I just spoke to you? It may be Stan's version, but every bit of it's Scripture. God's will. Let me run over a couple of things very quick. And I've got a reason. This is not a replay. I got new light on this week. So as soon as you let me replay this, then I'm going to give you something that better set you free. If it doesn't, we better break the concrete off your feet or something. But something's wrong. Do you have favor in this world? First, let me ask you this. Do you have favor with God and man? That would be Scripture. to say that you have favor with God and man? If he says so, or he's already said it? He's already said it. He doesn't have to say it again, does he? Psalms, you all need to write this down. I want you to turn. Just write them down. And I didn't get very many. You could probably find more. But Psalms 5 and 12, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." Now, all I want you to understand is that God's will is that you are surrounded like a shield with his favor. Not will be, already. How about prosperity? Prosperity, Psalms 1:3. You and I. "He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." It doesn't say whatever he does shall prosper right after you pray. It doesn't say if you'll bow, crawl a mile on your knees, get bloody knees and bloody hands, then you will prosper. It doesn't say that. It says the things that I've already accomplished has caused you to prosper. Isaiah 54:17. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Not only has God pronounced prosperity on you, he's pronounced that no weapon shall prosper against you. "And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn." So I stand before you this morning, that for the second time I will say, any tongue that rises in this place against me, I curse you in Jesus' name. I condemn it. And I command it to cease and desist. Just like that. I don't pray about it. I have a command. By your word, Lord, I command it to cease. And every weapon that's surrounding this place trying to keep people's life from being changed, I curse it in Jesus' name. By your word, it's cursed, God. By your word, it's cursed. Not by mine, by your word. By the word of God. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So I don't even have to be the most righteous person in the world. I have to do my part, but I don't have to work it out. God's already worked it out. All I have to do is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," which causes me to be righteous. That word, that law that I just spoke, causes me to be righteous. If I speak God's word, it causes me to be prosperous. If I speak God's word, it causes me to be healed. What causes? The power, the will, the authority, the kingdom of God. Not my word. Me repeating God's word. Joshua 1:7. "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." So it's not just in this little 3x3 square. Or it's not in my little 1,500 to 2,000 square foot home. Or my little bitty backyard. It's not any of those places. It's wherever I go. How about me just owning stuff? Is it all right for me to own? I told somebody the other day, I'm not satisfied with one or two or three houses. I want to own the whole world. Y'all look at me funny if you want to, but that's the Spirit of God. I'll say it to you again. That is the Spirit of God to own the entire world. Now, He already does, and He's willing to share. If you own, are you willing to share? Talk about another Spirit of God. Anyway, Joshua 1:3. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." You know, this is so cool. Because then Jesus came along and put his foot on what? Right on the enemy's neck, right? And then he said, "By the way, I want you to make them my footstool." That's your command. That's your authority. That's your assignment. You make his enemy his footstool. Isn't that amazing? It didn't say make your enemy your footstool. It said you make his enemy his footstool. Well, if you're in Christ Jesus, there's only one way to do that. And that's you making him your footstool also. Now, y'all didn't respond to that. What's wrong? I mean, I told you the truth. All right, well, I'll move on then. I won't even stay there very long. How about healing? We've gone over this before. God's will, God's kingdom, God's presence, God's power, God's authority, who He is, what He is. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. It doesn't say we will be. It doesn't say when it finally manifests. Let me tell you something. I've seen some people miraculously saved. And I'm glad people didn't say you're saved when it finally manifests. Because that's totally, excuse me for a minute while I step on a few toes, it's totally antichrist. Your healing isn't there when it's manifested. You're either healed or you're not healed. That means either Jesus is real to you or He's not. Well, what about all these lumps and bumps and pains and aches? What about them? They're yours. Do you like them? You just keep them. You just keep talking about them. Or you can say, by God's word, I'm healed. Hadn't got anything to do with how I feel or what I think. Or, by the way, it doesn't have anything to do with what you say about me. Or what you see. That's right. About me or what I see in you. The truth of the matter is, by God's word. By your word, Lord, I'm healed. I haven't got any right to say anything else. And by the way, that's not praying. That's praising. That's prophesying. The thing we're supposed to do 99% of the time. Matthew 8:16, in case there's an exception. When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Why is He having to heal all who were sick then? Because He hadn't gone to the cross yet. After the cross, no more excuses. Before, well, I couldn't jump into the pool in time. I couldn't get to Him. Doesn't apply after the cross. One of the things the cross did is it eliminated an awful lot of excuses. Acts 5:16. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities. I'm reading this so you'll know after the cross works too. A multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people to those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And they were healed. I'm going to say something to you. I'm going to say it to me. I'm going to say it by the Word. Therefore, I can say it boldly. There's two times here now that it's mentioned. One vaguely by calling it demon-possessed, what sickness is. The second one direct on. Tormented by unclean spirits is sickness. And you, children of God, have no right to put up with that. It's not a matter of what you want. You don't have the right. If something's wrong with you, then you've got a 24/7 until it's gone. Why? So that you can be comfortable? No, because you are interested in enforcing the Word of God. Because it's the only thing that's life and God. It's the only thing that will bring glory and honor to God. So by your word, God, I am healed. And I'll accept no other report. By your word, Lord. It's not by my word. It's by your word, Lord. If you're having trouble being the head of the house, or you're having trouble taking a rightful place in Christ Jesus, you're having trouble with your mouth, your feet, your hair, anything else, there is a word to take care of it. You find that word and you begin to preach by God's word, it's taken care of. And it will be. 2 Samuel 23:5. I'm going to show you something here. Another thing that's got in my spirit is that my steps are ordered. My steps are ordered. You need to get that in your spirit. You're not an accident. There's nobody here that was an accident. Me being standing here this morning is not an accident. My steps are ordered. Listen to this one. This is for people that think that your steps are ordered when you're walking perfectly. Or people think you're walking perfectly. 2 Samuel 23:5. Although my house is not so with God. In other words, even though I'm not living right in the presence of God. Let's use it in our vernacular today. Even though I don't do everything perfect. Yet He has made with me an everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things and secure. Ordered in all things and secure. Are you guys prophesying like you're secure? Are you saying, I hope. For this is my salvation, and this is all my desire. Will He not make it increase? My goodness, if my desire is to exalt God in my healing, in my not healing, if it's my desire, then will He not make it increase? Will He not add the increase? You don't have to do it. It's not up to you. Scripture, I caught my eye this morning that I don't have to be doing everything perfect. It's Him that does the increase. It's Him. Psalms 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. How about for all of you people that have been talking about how stupid you are? Now, come on. Every one of us degrades ourselves at one time or another. Because we don't think we quite measure up. Well, guess what? If we're praying our prayers, we don't. If we're praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, it's not even our thoughts. So let's don't call God stupid. Listen, wisdom. Exodus 31:3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Anybody here filled? Then I don't care how we feel, and I don't care what other people think. He filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. You guys have hung around me a little bit on the job. You won't hear me saying I can't do that. I know what the Word says. It says that I can do all things. Now, it may take me a little bit longer doing this once in a while, but I'll guarantee you once I get it in here, I can do it. Anybody in here like that? By God's Word, you are like that. I just read it to you. Psalms 37:30. The mouth of the righteous speak wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice, not grace and mercy. Can I tell you, and I'm going to be point blank about this, if all you ever talk about is grace and mercy, you'll never help anybody. That's like telling a child that everything he does is okay. You're going to end up with a rotten, no good kid that nobody likes and never accomplishes anything. Psalms 49:3. My mouth shall speak wisdom. Y'all get up in the morning and start saying this? My mouth this day will speak wisdom by God's Word. It has no other choice. I'm giving it a command that it has to obey. And the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. If the meditation of my heart gives understanding, who does it give understanding to? Me first. It has to be me first. Then, if I get some understanding, I can begin to speak with some wisdom. Right? How about power and authority? Anybody here feel a little bit powerless or a little bit less powered than they'd like? I want to tell you how to walk in authority. Luke 9:1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure all diseases. Oh, now we got us a new church. We're going to lay hands on other people. Oh, baloney. Start with you. I'm not trying to start another religion. You get yourself healed first. That doesn't mean you can't agree with others and lay hands on others, but man, work on you the hardest. Why? Well, I'm the most selfish. No. You're the temple that needs to be conquered. You're the temple. You get good at conquering your temple, and you'll get good with other people. How about some grace and mercy? Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of trouble. You know what? I'm going to read that to you again. You don't have to turn there, but you can check me out. I'm going to read it to you one more time. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He didn't say you'd find mercy and grace. You know how we find mercy and grace? We find it by looking for it for others. Now, why are you saying that, Stan? Because this old boy has a personal working knowledge of this. I haven't got any grace for anybody without asking. Come on, y'all can say that. You know me. I'm not full of grace and mercy. So what I need to be doing is using God's Word to get grace and mercy. What, for me? No. You see, I have all the grace and mercy I need. Personally, I have all the grace and mercy. I've just read you Scripture that just about bypasses the grace and mercy. I won't need to be pleading for mercy if I'm trying to obey God's law. And if I begin to speak His Word, I'm even bypassing the forgiveness. I'm beginning to interject into me the law that causes me to obey the law. I'm going to say that different. You didn't think you catch that. If I begin to learn the Scripture that says, by the bruises, blood, stripes of Jesus, by God's Word I am healed, then I'm not superseding a law. I'm interjecting a law that's going to cause change. I'm causing it to be fulfilled. I'm filling me full of it, and that's going to make it happen. Death comes natural. Life comes supernatural. Choose you this day, life or death. You can lay down and take the natural course of life. Or you can, even if you die, you go down in God's Word and you can't fail. You take God's Word and you start making you do what's right. You know it's wrong to be sick? It's not God's will for you to be sick. So it must be wrong. Anything out of God's will is wrong. Come on, are we getting too black and white here? Yep, nope. He's in agreement. That's what he knows. How about rule? I think I already read this one. But I'll read it to you again because you need to hear it again. Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. As I said to Moses. How long would this work? Does it kind of weaken out through generations? You mean God's Word is forever? Doesn't get any weaker? Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Our Word they'll forget. God's Word they'll remember. Let it be so. How about blessed? Anybody in here blessed? Even when you don't feel like it? Genesis 5:2. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. Let me say it another way. And He called them blessed in the day they were created. Can I tell you something? If it weren't for sin, sin is rebellion against the truth in any form. Sin is rebellion against the truth in any form. Sin is pushing truth to one side. Sin is procrastination of the truth. It's not just not believing it. It's pushing it to one side and say, I'll pick it up later. That's sin. If it weren't for sin, we would be walking in such blessings we couldn't hardly stand it. I will point back to Adam and Eve as the people that first experienced anything except the will of God. They were the first people to experience anything but the true, pure will of God. And all you have to do is go back there and see their walk. It's so cool. I mean, even though they were in this world, they weren't of this world because they didn't have clothes. They didn't have shoes. There was no cold. There was no hot. There was no thorns. Can you imagine walking around naked with thorns? There was no hot. There was no cold. There was no ultraviolet rays. But Stan, don't butt me. That's what the goat does. That's what a goat does. You don't be a goat. I'm telling you the truth. This is what it was. Sin brought everything. Look, turn your ear this way just for a second. Sin brought everything that we consider to be natural. God has been trying to get us to live in the supernatural ever since then, which is better than natural. It's above natural. That's what supernatural means. Well, in Genesis it says even then he started trying to draw us back to the tree of life. But I will agree, just for simplicity's sake, Jesus was the culmination of all the prophecy that said, I'm going to bring you back. I see Jesus in the Old Testament as much as I do in the New. That's the reason I'm saying that. I mean, man, he's alive and well in the Old Testament. When I finally really got into Genesis, I found out that he was alive and well in the book of Genesis. My goodness, was Holy Spirit was alive and well in the book of Genesis. And so I will agree that if we want to use that word manifestation, the truth of the matter is prophecy became true. Prophecy became touchable with Jesus Christ. But it was real the moment it was spoken. Whose prophecy? So we always say God, but it wasn't. It was God's word through men that was called prophecy. Can you still do that? Can you still call those things that aren't as if they already are and wait till that you can touch them? That's our command. The supernatural being. Blessed. Genesis 12:3. I will curse those who bless you. I will bless those who will bless you. You got it? I will bless those who will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. Now for the warning. Because here I stand, God. I read your word. You said you'd bless those that bless me. I will curse him who curses you. Boy, that would just brought up a whole bunch of faces. So you know what I say? I say those that bless me are blessed and those that curse me are cursed by God's word. Not by my word. My word doesn't mean squat. Only God's word counts. Amen? Deuteronomy 28:3. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Now, I gave you a little short trip around the block of God's will. So now we know what we're praying for in essence when we say, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. We know what we're praying for, we just don't know how it's going to be manifested. And we're going to be innocent anymore. We're not going to worry about the manifestation, are we? Come on. Hey, it's not true until you say it's true. We need to stop worrying. The reason I'm saying that is because when we ask for specifics, we are asking for a specific manifestation. And it's not real until it's specifically manifested. Right? But if we ask for His will, then we can truly believe that everything that happens after that is manifestation. We may not understand it yet, but we know it's manifesting right now because we spoke it. So again we ask, how do we handle those things that cause sickness and disease? I've already alluded to it many times today, but I'm going to tell you now, I have your answer. For all of those things that you think that have not manifested correctly, I'm going to blame you. Me. It's your fault. Oh, don't I have an exciting one here today? Well, I do have. I do. It's very exciting. And this is your answer. By your word we speak. It hit me this week, right? It hit me Monday morning early after preaching last Sunday. There are always thoughts in your mind. There are always a few worries. There are always a few pains. There are always a little bit of lack. And the first thing we want to do is bring those up before the Lord. What a lousy sacrifice do we present? That's a tainted sacrifice, Harry. What would happen in the temple? If we're the priest and we walk in that way, we die instantly. That's Old Testament. We walk into the presence of God bringing up dirt, we die instantly. Isn't that amazing? We've got to get away from this Old Testament praying. The trouble with praying about our need and our want is that is the Word. When we speak our need and when we speak our want, that becomes the Word. Please, Genesis gave you dominion. I've said this to you, I wish it would get in your spirit, that what comes out of your breath is the breath of God. What is backing your word is the breath of God. And therefore, if I am sick is your word, then you are sick is your dominion. If that's what you want to speak about, well, so be it. Well, Stanley, are you telling me that I just ignore? No, sir. You don't ignore nothing. You go to war. This is not a game of ignorance and who can last the longest. This is a game of who uses the right ammunition. This is the game of the United States against Iraq. Iraq existed for 30 years because they bluffed. When a man of God finally got in the presidency and said, no more bluff, it's our God against yours, they went down in flames quickly. It's the same thing today. If you'll fight the right fight, you won't ever lose. You'll never lose. Why? Because God's Word never loses. Never. Your Word, I can throw it out with a dishwasher, with the dishwater. Come on. All you super righteous people, you know what your Word is worth. We try to make it worth something, but we absolutely have no control. I can tell you tomorrow, I swear on a stack of Bibles, I'll be at your doorstep at 7 in the morning. And all I have to do is have one little flat tire and it doesn't work out. Right? That's what our word is worth. Now, what about God? The one that can air up a tire that doesn't even exist to get you there if He wants you to. We've been given power and authority, not just by His Word and will, but in His Word and will. We have all power and authority only in and through His Word. When we talk about being in Jesus' name or commanding in Jesus' name, we're talking, by the way, who is Jesus? Is He the Word? Is He referred to as the Word? So when we say in Jesus' name, what are we really saying? In His Word? In Word? In Him? Not in by this prayer in Jesus' name? So misunderstood. Our prayer means nothing in Jesus' name. Only Jesus' name means something. We try to give our prayers validity by tying it to Jesus instead of using the Word of Jesus as the validity. There's no power in our prayers tied, hitched, and pinned to Jesus' name. The power is what little word we mix in our prayer. What would happen if we just made our prayer prophesying what Jesus has already done and said? So it is not by our will we rule and reign. It is by His Word. He rules and reigns through us. It is by His will that He rules and reigns through us. His Word causes Him to rule and reign through us. Not our Word, His Word. Now I'm going to tell you what's going on here. This is such a simple thing that I'm going to have to say it 100 times to get you to understand. And I'm not kidding you. I realized this morning that this by your Word is all we ever need to know in our entire life. How do you tell somebody that, Harry? How do you explain to somebody that all I need to start saying is by your word, and I've got the horse by the tail, I've got the world by the tail. I don't need any other authority and power. Because I've just used all authority and all power when it's by His Word. There's no other authority or power other than His Word. You guys know that. It's just coming in a different form. And that's what I'm telling you. This is hard to swallow because it's, you must become as a little child to understand. I've had this. If it wasn't for God moving on me and just going inside of me, I'd still be scratching my head about this. But He explained it to me in a split second. Now I've got to take some time and explain it, what I'm trying to feel inside, to everybody else I can run into. This is real. This is by the Spirit of God. Acts 17, verse 28. For in Him we live and move and have our being. For we are also His offspring. Now listen, that doesn't mean I'm a child of Jesus. That's not what that's saying. Even though it may be real, I'm a child of God. That's not what the Scripture is saying. If I am a... Let me see if I can ask this right so I can get the right answer. Is Jesus the Word? And if I'm His offspring, what am I? Look at that. We've got the right answer just like that. So when I speak, it means nothing. But when I speak as an offspring, which is out of the abundance of my heart the mouth speaks, then all of a sudden, the same thing that Jesus, what happened when Jesus spoke, happens when I speak because I'm speaking what He spoke. Does that make sense? For we are also His offspring. Our entire faith and conversation must be by Him, by His Word, by what He has said, by His command. I've said this to you many times. I'm going to say it to you again. The first thing that comes into your mind is always wrong. It's always of flesh, not of God. You have to replace your first thought with a Word of God. That's taking dominion or captivity into captivity. Every thought. That's the true definition of taking into captivity. Just know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Otherwise, Charles Manson would be a son of God. Because he did his first stupid thought. If every first human thought was a thought of God, this world would be totally chaotic. Most of us would be dead, killed by each other. The first thought that comes into your mind, or if you really are spiritual, the first thing that comes into your spirit is always wrong. Unless you can prove it by a Word of God. Does that make more room for you so I don't pin you so hard? If the first thought is in total alignment from at least three sources in the Bible, then it's a pure thought. If it's not, take it into captivity and turn it into a righteous thought. A lot of amens on that one, wasn't there? Doesn't make any difference. It's still right. It's still right. What He has willed, let's talk about the will of God for a second. What He has willed is law. See, you and I, we nearly get too religious sometimes. And we like to believe that what we think or what we wish is God. Now, did you hear that? You know, I'm saying this over and over, sideways, front and back, not to bore you, because I want you to walk away with it indelible in your mind. I'll say it again. What we wish and what we will is worthless, unless it's in total alignment with God's will. What He has willed is law. That's why we pray, nevertheless, not our will, but thine be done. That's why Jesus set that example. I don't want my will. Jesus, the sinless man, the only sinless man, and you're not one of them, by the way, the only sinless man, had a sin thought in his heart, and he took it into captivity. His heart told him to get out of town. Don't die for this mess. They'll never appreciate it. Can't you hear that? If you had his mind, couldn't you hear that? And he said, you know what, God? That don't sound like a bad suggestion, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Nothing wrong with the first thought. I'm not trying to condemn people's first thoughts. I'm telling you to take them into captivity. God has already willed. He's already had the first thought. Let's use His. We must live and move in His will, not our law or our wishes. We must command our circumstances to obey God's will and God's law. What we want, what we do when we pray individual things, is we ask God to meet our need. Come on. We ask God to meet our need. And that's just as wrong as it can be. We're supposed to be commanding our need to disappear into God's will. So we don't have a need anymore. We have God's will. Which is better, our need or His will? If we were in a court of law, we would waste the court's time and our time by telling the court our wishes and wants. Let me challenge you the next time you decide to go to court. Tell them what you wish. Tell them what you want. See what kind of reception you get. Just go ahead. Spill your guts. Oh, Judge, you know I've had this problem and I've had that problem and I'm real lazy and I'm no good. But please have grace and mercy. And he's going to go, that's a good one. Guilty. Come on. You know how you win in a court of law? By presenting points of law. Hey, I'm telling you the answer to life here. You know how you win in this court of law? By presenting points of law. You'll not do it by crying, sobbing, pleading grace and mercy, pleading the blood, pleading nothing else. What you're going to do is ask for God's will, and when you know it, you're going to speak God's will. That's points of law. And every fiber of your being is resisting that, hurting, wanting. You're going to tell your being to shut up. It's God's will, it's God's word, and I'm not going to bend and I'm not going to burn. The accuser, the circumstances, the lack, the pain, these are all presented to the court of the world as reasons for you to die. But you have an advocate. He's not defending you. He's providing you with good counsel. I always took Jesus as a defender. He doesn't have to defend me. Look at me. I've already got the blood of Jesus. I don't need defense. What I need is counsel. Counsel in what? Well, since I've been given dominion, points of law. If I don't go, the Comforter can't come. And if the Comforter doesn't come, you won't remember the points of law. The Holy Spirit is here not to pick you up, but to inform you. To encourage you to speak the law that you already know. And when you forget it, to remind you. I'm giving you life and that more abundantly. Y'all better quit looking bored. If we want to die, if we want to fail, if we want to hurt, just know your rights and your laws. Because law kills. Your law kills. Then there's the law of life. Listen, here's the point I want you to make. You must win for Him. This is not talking about winning for you. You must win for Him. Look what He's done for you. Don't you owe Him anything? Then let's just win for Him. Let's learn how to win for Him. This is not about where you know good and well, any of you in here that has any mileage on you at all. Once in a while, it would be a lot easier just to lay down and die. Especially the Christians, that's not a scary thought to die. In fact, it's the easy way out. God presents you law so that you can keep on fighting and winning for Him. Makes Him look good. Isn't that what this is about? We're supposed to make Him look good? We must win for Him by beginning our every word and command to the enemy with, by Your word. Man, can you imagine, listen to me for a second, the boldness that will begin to rise up in you if you begin to, with knowledge, say, by Your word. If you introduce your next conversation with, by Your word, Lord, how the Holy Spirit's going to give you word. Man, it's kind of like an invitation of God just to start spewing out of your mouth. By Your word, Lord. Which means by Your will, by Your law, by Your kingdom, for You, Lord. Let's do it. Pain. I don't want to ever speak to pain again by my will. I don't want to pray for anybody because I want to. Listen to me. Don't pray for yourself. Don't pray for your children. Don't pray for your finances. For you. If you can remember what I'm telling you right now, if you can begin to enter in by saying, by Your word, Lord, all of a sudden it's not about you and it's not about them anymore. It's about defending God's word, using God's word, and watching one more time the foot of God go on the neck of the enemy. Pain. Not by my wish. Not by my will, but by Your word. This pain is gone. By Your word, I walk in health. Do you understand what we're saying? It's not even by my will. I want you to understand this. We can come against those things that are coming against us and do it as a neutral party. I'm not even tied up in this. This is not about a pain in my neck or a pain in my back or a pain in my foot. This is about God Himself. By Your word, You've already commanded this to go, and by Your word, I stand on that commandment. And I'm just neutral. I'm enjoying the fight that it's already been won. I'm entering into the victory. And then here He comes again. One more pain. And I got once again say, by Your word. And here comes another pain. And I say, by Your word. Prosperity. Not by my wish, not by my design, but by Your word. I am prosperous and everything that I touch turns to wealth. Not for me, but for You, God. By Your word, everything that I do is victorious, and everything that comes against me falls. Yeah. By Your word. By Your word, Lord. Our failures don't manifest in not having prayers answered. They're manifested the minute we pray selfishly. Our failures are manifested in us instantly when we pray selfishly. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Our wrong spirit, our wrong attitude is manifested when I pray about me. My prayer is, only prayer. If you don't ever speak another prayer in your life, let it be, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. I firmly believe that if we can learn to pray this correctly, we'll never have to have another prayer. We'll only have praise and prophecy. Man, that's so sacrilegious, isn't it? So sacrilegious. Well, I'm going to ask you point blank, and if you don't answer me correctly, I may answer for you. How many of us are truly manifesting God's will? The answer is none. Well, that's a negative ending. I'm not through. By God's word, it's not staying that way. That's my final word. By God's word, by God's will, by God's kingdom, for God's kingdom, it's not going to stay that way. If I've been given the ability, the only species on the face of the earth that's been given the ability to speak, there must be a reason behind it rather than asking for money. There's got to be a reason. The reason is to glorify God. To magnify God. Not by out in the street, bowing and stooped and crippled, but by standing up boldly with a loud voice saying, by God's Word, you don't see everything. Lord, by Your Word, eyes be open. Show Him how many of us there are. There's a Scripture to meet every need that we have. There's a Word in the Bible. There's a Word in your spirit by God that'll answer every question you need to, that'll ever be asked you or that you have to ask. There's not one unanswered thing in the entire Bible. It's all there. So by God's Word, I'm more than a conqueror. And when I need to have the specific, by God's Word, I'll hear it. Not by God and not by my determination, but by God's Word. Amen? In to defend us, just for a moment, we thought we'd been doing right. We thought we'd been praying right. And God's been just, He's a loving God. And He's listening for His Word. And when He hears it, He responds. And all I'm trying to convince you to do is let's just weed out our words. So He doesn't have to wade through all that trash. Let's turn our long prayers into short prayers, beginning with, by God's Word. Then we eliminate all our stuff. By God's Word, I need a purple pair of pants. Oh, please, you show me that in the Bible. Come on, show me. If you're going to say by God's Word, you tell me what God's Word says. By His Word, by His will, for His kingdom, and for His glory, we always win. If you can't remember anything else, you can remember, by God's Word, we always win. Start there. If you can't think of anything else, it's a good place to start. Let's do it for Him and not for us. I did not want to, I pray to God that I did not put anybody down for their questions to me. But I'm telling you, when the questions came, and they were Scripture, it was so clear to me. It was like Cozumel water. The answer was, I want you to ask me. I put that in there for a reason. I want you to ask me for your daily bread. I want you to ask me for my will. I want you to spend much time asking me for the daily bread and for my will. But I already know about your needs. Don't ask me that. Ask me for my will. Ask me for my kingdom. Ask me for my word. Then when I give it to you, you speak it. When I show it to you, you operate in it. And you don't let anything or anybody else change your mind. You harp on that. You harp on that. You speak it and you say, by God's Word, I'm healed. I read in the Word that Jesus paid this, felt this, said it would never have to come up again. And by God's Word, that's the way it's going to be. And I'll accept no other report. Jesus said, after He'd done this, it is finished. So by God's Word, it's finished. And don't you ever bring it up to me again. Whether you're talking to you know, you have to talk to you that way. Or you're talking to a friend, or you're talking to an enemy. Jesus was not a softie. He died for you. He said, I could have called legions of angels. We translated into 10,000, but I can tell you that's a small number compared to what He could have called. He was moving in power and authority when He died for us. Moving in tremendous power and authority. Why? Because He knew God's will. You know what that made? Can I tell you what that made happen? The same thing that happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they walked through fire. They didn't feel it. They didn't feel it. I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm going to come from another direction. God's Word is the only shield. I read it to you in one of the Scriptures. It's the only shield you have to prevent you from being walking in pain, walking in poverty, walking in sickness, walking in failure. God's Word is the only shield that you have. If you don't use it, don't complain that you walk in those things. Just walk in them. As old Paul of Voice says, if you're going to be a goose, be a quiet one. If you're going to be a son of God, be a loud one. Don't be ashamed of God's Word. Use it like a gold, solid gold sword. That means you'll pull it out fast to show it off. Not as a braggart, because it stands on its own. You don't have to brag about God's Word. You just present it. You understand me? It stands on its own. Now, any other questions? Because by God's Word, I got the answer. You may get tired of hearing me say that. I hope I say it to make you tired. I want God to so instill that in my life that it just comes out quicker than anything else. I really do. I want that. Because right now, it's the only way that I can feel like I can please God. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm telling you, right now I feel like that speaking God's Word is the only way that I can please Him. I believe it's a matter of life and death. I believe that He wants to show Himself strong through every one of you in here. And I believe I've given you the key. I'll say what my mom said, but I'm going to turn it. She talked about this cord and him holding the deal here. She said, he's got me on a short tether. I believe God's got me on a short tether. I want Him to have you on a short tether. I want Him to have you on a tongue that's bound by God's Word. A tongue that literally hurts when it doesn't speak anything but faith or God's Word. And when natural human nature comes out negative, you're going to correct it by God's Word. Do as Jesus did. He said, is there any way out of this, God? That's what He said. Is there any way out of this? But before God could even answer, He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So don't be convicted if something other than God's Word comes out. Be convicted if you don't correct it with God's Word. Is that good advice? End your sentence with God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and I need the bread to accomplish it. Once again, part two. Fill them up with premium, God. By God's Word, fill them up with premium. Give them the hot stuff. Give them the hot stuff. What's that little gas that you can flip the switch and... Yeah, nitrous oxide. It's nitro. It's referred to drag racing as nitro. And there's people that will dare to flip that switch. They'll usually do it once and they won't do it again. Because it'll either gut them or scare them to death or something, because it adds so much power. I'm telling you that you have a switch. Dare to switch it. See what happens. It may scare you a little bit to begin with. Because that sudden surge of power that God lets you feel. Don't be afraid. You guys are built to take it. You're not built to take sickness and disease and poverty, but you are built to take the kingdom of God. You really are. You may not think so, but you are. You're built to rule. You're built to rule higher than presidents and kings. You're built to rule and reign in all situations. You are literally built to command the world to do what you want it to do by God's Word, by the switch. But you got to turn it on. You're not built to rule without God's Word. Please, if you got to tell me something negative, end it with God's Word. Require me to do the same. Amen? All right, all hearts clear? Or have I just muddled the water one more time? By God's Word, I want to stir you. I will admit that. Richard? Yes. We pray for his faith. You know what? I'm going to stand corrected. There's one other prayer that you are allowed to pray, and that is increase faith. Right? There's another prayer that you can pray for my faith, I can pray for yours. Because that is God's will. It's not our own personal prayer. So he's asking for the increased faith, right? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I pray that your faith stands in this, Richard, that God's word is more real than your blindness. I want you to be blind to the world. I want you to see God. I want you to see his word.
Yes.
That doesn't mean I'm not looking for the manifestation of your sight. But I remind you, my faith was stirred by this, and I'm standing on that. Y'all were out of here, and it was just Richard and I and a couple of people in the back. He was up here, and I went and turned those lights off, and he said, "Who turned the lights off?" Now, that may be little to him. It's big to me. It increases my faith. Because if you can see anything, it's better than seeing nothing. And that's the tip of the iceberg. That's a beginning. Whether it's instantaneous or if it takes 10 years, it's still God's work. And it's still by his word. More than that, it's at the right time, Richard. By God's word means also that it's the timing is right. Because your steps are still ordered. Pray for his faith. That's what he asked. And by God's word, his faith is increased. By this prayer and by God's word, his faith is increased. He becomes so obnoxious in faith that we even get mad at him once in a while. But in that, he gets strong and he gets mighty. He'll get mad if you say he's blind. Because it's the faith of God makes him see. And that's more real than the blindness. I want him to get mad at us if you say he's blind. So be it. Anybody else? And you know, I'm having a, and you'll bear with me for a minute, for just a second, but I'm having a hard time understanding how to pray for my faith when I haven't used enough of God's word yet. Okay, faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? So maybe I won't need to have my faith prayed for if I'm just spouting off the word of God all the time. Now, that doesn't, please, I'm not trying to make this black and white because I think this is in progressive stages. We're going to work on this until we get it. But I'm going to tell you something. God is doing something in me that makes God's word more real than the feeling. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that I can create things and recreate things by God's word, not by my faith. Now, I'm not trying to step on any toes here. Please don't. I won't do that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if I have enough faith to quote God's word and not look at anything else, then that is my faith. That is what's pleasing. I'm taking his word. That's nearly another direction. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? I need to have faith that God's word is more real than my pain. Or God's word is more real than my lack or my want. So that I no longer pay attention to that. I only focus on the Word of God. And I think that's when God says, that kind of faith pleases me. Amen?
And I just want to ask the church to send them with anointing.
Amen.
We've been praying for them, and they're returning to God. And we're just, I'm going with a little fear in my heart right now.
Well, let me say it to you. Excitement's a good word. But let me tell you something. One of the things that God's Word does to you is it places some weight of the world on you. It gives you responsibility. Because you know, if you really believe God's Word, you also know, especially when you're walking into somebody that's deceived, you have the only truth. And their life may depend on your only truth and your action. And so, y'all stretch your hands this way, and we pray for his faith, that his faith is increased. We pray that God's will be done, not just on him, but through him in this situation. And by God's word, Jesus will be revealed. By God's word, Jesus will be revealed. Not Harry, not Marie, not the church agreeing with him, but by God's word, Jesus will be revealed to those that are blinded. Amen? And then we also agree that by God's word, he gives God glory when it's revealed, when he sees it happen. Amen? Good. Praise the Lord. Did you... Yes.
And I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I think I am.
Yep. The my mom and my dad have spent a lot of years increasing my faith. Now I feel like lately I've been trying to increase theirs. It's okay. It's okay. And I'm not backing up from it. I'm not backing up. See, she needs to understand that life is not held in a tumor or in a doctor's prescription or diagnosis. It's held by God. But it's loaned to us through the Word. Does that make sense to you? He'll decide. He has the final decision on everything. But he's given us some dominion. And we don't speak. We don't receive death because it's suggested to us. We receive life because it's been given to us. And our fight is that. He mentioned it. The devil wants to sift you. Y'all know what sifting is, don't you? If you ever look at flour, the flour is moving so fast that it can't stand up. It's just slowly falling through the cracks. That's what the devil wants to do to us. But Jesus says, no to sifting. He says, stand on me. I won't shake. You won't fall through any cracks around here. I'll take the lumps, bumps, and all, just like you are. You just stand on me. Don't be afraid. Everything will be fine. By God's word, she's healed. By God's word, he's healed. I'm not taking any other report. Amen? By God's word, I'm healed. Jerry? By God's word, you're healed. Not by your prayer and not by mine. Well, that we got to get down. It's not by my prayer and it's not by yours. It's by God's word I'm healed. Find the agreement in that. I don't want you to pray. I don't want to pray. I don't want you to agree with me in prayer. I want you to agree with me in God's word. Then we both get help. Amen? He meets by God. All your needs are met. All your questions are answered. You are anointed. You are blessed. You are healed. You are prosperous. And I'll receive no other report. Receive no other report with me. Amen? All right, stand with me. Let's send ourselves on our way. Please. Whatever circumstance you're in right now, accept the responsibility and change it. That simple. Just say it's me, my fault. But it's not going to continue by God's word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Complete is your name. Complete is your word. It is your kingdom we seek. It is your word we love. You, Lord, we trust. We'll trust no other. We're not looking to psychologists, psychiatrists, fiction writers, news media. We're not looking for one more secret that we can sell. Our life, our love, it's wrapped up in you, Father. It's wrapped up in you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, use our minds, use our hearts for your honor, for your glory. You, Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And by that word and by this prayer, so be it in Jesus' name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We accept it with thanksgiving and joy. We look forward to the next dose, not next Sunday, but the next minute. Thank you for being the God of then, now, and tomorrow. We're looking forward to all of it. We love you, Lord. Something is going to use us up. Let it be you. Let it be you. Let your kingdom be established and expanded through your work here. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory because it is done. It is finished by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.